I'm joined in studio now by Tim Brunero, my colleague and producer. Tim's been out on the road making the good life for this week because he's working with us for a period of time. Tim, you've been off on the Armenians, I think.
Yes, that's right. Of course, a couple of weeks ago in the news, the New South Wales Parliament was admonished by the Turkish government for passing some resolutions in May recognising the Armenian genocide and
big dispute, actually. It was a big dispute.
Yeah, quite a blue, actually. The Turkish government said to all the members of the New South Wales Parliament, because, of course, it was unanimously passed through both houses, and that they won't be welcome at Gallipoli celebrations, and certainly not those that will be held in 1915.
This is the centenary, the 100th anniversary.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, quite serious, quite significant.
And so the question I asked myself was, who are these Armenians? I suppose some of us vaguely know that the Kardashians are Armenian. We might know that Andre Agassi and Joe Hockey are Armenian. But who are they?
Charles Aznavour, if you're a music fan. Charles Aznavour.
There you go.
A lot of them in France, there you go.
Yeah, sure, as well.
I didn't know that.
But, of course, my interest was tinged with seriousness because it was such a serious story on a couple of different levels. And so I thought, maybe I'll head out to Chatswood and speak to the Armenian bishop in Australia and find out who these people are and find out more about the diaspora and what they believe, where they fit into the church and Christian history. And as well as find out about this genocide, which I didn't really know much about.
Jim Brunero with The Good Life.
The issue of the Armenian genocide is once again in the news after last week the Turkish government threatened to ban all the members of the New South Wales Parliament from attending the centenary of the Gallipoli landing on Anzac Day in 2015. The move was in response to the Parliament's motions passed in May, officially recognising the Turkish policy between 1915 and 1922 of deportation, forced marches and execution of their Armenian, Pontian Greek and Assyrian communities. Historians have put the final death toll at about 1.5 million people, but representatives of the Turkish government have labelled the genocide a fabrication. But who are Armenian Australians, and why is it so important to them the events of 100 years ago are recognised? I went to the Sydney suburb of Chatswood to meet with His Grace Bishop Haygarzoon Najarian from the Armenian Apostolic Church. Bishop Najarian was born in Aleppo in Syria and has studied in Armenia and the United Kingdom and worked as a priest in the United States and Europe. 7 months ago, he came to Australia to lead the Armenian church here. Through the ages, Armenians have left the region after waves of invasions, and many who had fled to the Middle East during the early 20th century have had to flee again during more recent political upheavals there. I started by asking His Grace about where the Armenian diaspora is and how many Armenians are living worldwide.
The numbers of the communities are changing so fast. The reason being is that, first, there were many Armenians, I said, in the Middle East. So these most Armenians which were in the Middle East, now they are not anymore in the Middle East. They are either in France or the States, basically, or Canada and Australia. So those Armenians, basically, were who moved 60s and 70s, more or less, and even a smaller part later. But then on top of this was added Iran after the toppling of the Shah. So many of the Iranian Armenians moved out, because when I say community, for example, in Iran there were 300,000, more than 300,000 Armenians. So today there are hardly 50,000 left. The same applies to Lebanon. There were 350,000 Armenians. And when you consider that Lebanon is a small country with 3 million population at the time, so 350,000 is a considerable minority, but a considerable minority. Unfortunately, the majority have left, and there are, as I said, major concentration are basically are France, United States, and basically towards the West Coast, California, Canada, and Australia. Those are the countries where various people went to, And on top of that, I must add the Armenians who are leaving Armenia in the last 15 or so years.
While Australia and Turkey have an important historical bond through Gallipoli, Bishop Najarian points out Armenians and Australians are also linked, ironically, by events occurring at exactly the same time.
History somehow, in irony, brought us together, Anzac Day. So the Australian soldiers were active in those parts of the world in 1915, 16, and so forth. So they wrote letters of their own, whatever they saw there, and they saw what happened to the Armenians. So that crisscrossed our history together. And after that, what happened, that there was a major helping, and that was the first time ever, as in States, the same way here in Russia, to help the Armenians, to send, you know, food from here all the way, and even to what became Armenia independent at the time for a short time in 1918. And it continued even within the Soviet times, and it was the only organization which continued to send assistance to the orphans and to the needy children. And the irony is that the Catholicosate of Cilicia, which later was established in Lebanon, in those days was a land owned by the Australians, and there is an even Australian flag on it, and Armenian orphans being, you know, taken care of. So history links us together through the Anzac and the effort, and I know how important Anzac is for Australia from historical point of view. I think that just acknowledging is not an issue of a certain minority, something happened in the past, but I think it's something to accept what happened. I'm pretty sure it's if you put politics aside, every Australian or European will accept that it's a historical fact. And I think, as from humanity point of view, we have to accept that something like this doesn't happen again. As long as, and obviously somebody will say, if Australia accept, not much will be changed. I agree with that. But we hope that one day Turks themselves will accept it. And for me, acceptance is not something of showing their weakness. I would think contrary. Accepting will show their superiority, overcoming their own difficulties. Because accepting that something happened in the past and to say sorry means that they accept what happened and they will not do something like that again. But turn and say, trying to hide it and so forth, it doesn't help themselves and it doesn't help us. And we are today, they like it or not, Armenia is a country, a small country, but lives next to North Turkey. And neighbors do have to be in good terms. And those last 20 years, there is no boundaries. The boundary is closed. There is no direct communication between the two countries.
Bishop Najarian has a unique perspective as one of the leaders of the Armenian Apostolic Church, but I was keen to hear from a young Armenian Australian and find out how he feels at the motions passed by the New South Wales Parliament.
Well, Vache Karamanian has a very different perspective to His Grace. Vache, you're a young Australian Armenian. What does it mean to be an Australian Armenian?
Having been born in such a wonderful country and also having such a old heritage in terms of an Armenian heritage is two things that come together so beautifully, and it's very difficult to describe in words what that all means, to embrace such a modern society as Australia but also have a culture and tradition which spans over 3,000 years as part of your ancestry is just wonderful.
Of course, we're talking to you this week because Armenian Australians are back in the news. Now, I just wonder if you very quickly take us through the events of 1915, but also
Tell us how your family was touched.
What happened at that time under the guise of World War One, the Ottoman Turkish Empire decided that it would be the prime time to eliminate its minorities living within the Ottoman Empire and to rid them once and for all. So the Ottoman Turkish Empire orchestrated a systematic plan of annihilation of the Greek, Armenian and Assyrian people, whether that be killing them there on the spot, whether it be sending them on long death marches, and very few of those people would have survived at the end of it. When Raphael Lemkin, the Nobel laureate who coined the term genocide, gave his speech at the United Nations, he said, if you want to look at what genocide is, he said, look firstly what happened to the Armenians and then look what happened to the Jews. And that is the definition of genocide. The Turks continue to dispute what occurred was genocide. They have continued to say under World War One there was loss of life on both sides. But where their fallacy comes unstuck is that there was Australian POWs on the ground there who witnessed what occurred. And they wrote memoirs which are now stored in the War Memorial in Canberra. And we're not talking one Australian Anzac, we're not talking two of them, we're talking of hundreds of them who witnessed. In right after the genocide, the Australian people here in Australia began the largest humanitarian relief effort to victims and survivors of the Armenian genocide, which was unprecedented in Australian history. This is all sitting in archives in Canberra, in the State Library, just down the road on Macquarie Street. And these are facts that weren't written in the last 2 years, in the last 10 years. They've been sitting in archives for now almost 100 years, and it's very hard to dispute history that's already occurred. My great-grandfather was a member of the Ottoman Parliament before 1915, and what the Ottoman Turks did, their first action was to kill all the noble men in society, because their belief was if you could kill the head of society, then it would be very hard for people to have leaders to follow and to seek guidance. And how we know that he was killed in the genocide, at that time it was very common for more wealthy families to have US life insurance policies. So whether it be New York Life or various other US insurance companies would travel throughout Europe and the Ottoman Empire selling life insurance to people. And my father very clearly remembers the US Eagle and the seal of the United States on a life insurance policy that was taken out by my great-grandfather. And unfortunately, as events occurred and through all the chaos of fleeing from a genocide, those documents, unfortunately, wasn't something that remained in the family treasures. And that's how my father's side ended up in Lebanon right after the genocide and lived there until the 1960s, as with most Armenian communities who reside in the Middle East and in the diaspora. Every Armenian has a connection back to descendants who were killed or who were survivors of the genocide.
How does it feel as an Armenian Australian to have the New South Wales government pass the resolution they have?
It shows the Australian people and the Australian legislative process can stand up to an ally and face the truth and say what occurred 100 years ago is what occurred 100 years ago. We cannot rewrite history. And if there were wrongs committed in history, we need to recognise them and move on in a way to provide reconciliation.